Good evening and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal, a journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. I'm Willie Hassel, along with the lovely, the mystical, the mysterious Lynn Nickerson. Good evening. How are you?
That would be me.
That would be you. There's no question about that.
I'm just fine. How are you, Willie?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I am.
Well, today was the day that you could do something with. Last couple of days was so darn hot that you couldn't do anything.
I know it. Today was beautiful. You know,
it was beautiful.
I always say there are 10 perfect days a year in New England.
10?
Yep.
Okay.
I think today might have been one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure.
It
was on a fine line.
I think it was a beautiful day. Only 10, though, huh?
That's about it.
You're hard to please.
I am very hard to please. You didn't know that?
Well, you know, it just goes so far.
Yeah.
But weather?
Weather, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It's got to be, you know, perfection or else it's...
You'd be happy if it were Miami Beach every day, wouldn't you, Willie?
No, it's too humid. Too humid in Miami.
Oh, I see. So what would be your perfect locale?
I'm still looking.
I think you're confused.
I know I'm confused, but what's that got to do with anything?
Oh, never mind.
Hey, you know, I mean, confusion is one thing, but still, it's only...
Maybe just, Tampa.
No. Florida is just too...
It is
too
humid,
too
I
humid,
know.
Yeah.
Well...
I like heat. You know, I like the desert heat, but...
You can go out there and fry then.
But there's no ocean out there.
No, there isn't. Isn't that funny?
couple more good earthquakes than there might be, but... get some oceanfront property in Arizona.
Oh, there is no place. Yeah, you just have to wait for another millennium.
I'm patient. I'm patient. I can wait.
So, well, maybe our listenership can't. Maybe they'd like us to get going with the program.
Well, maybe. It's entirely possible. So while I'm waiting, why don't we just go ahead and do that?
Sure, why don't you ad lib? Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll do a radio show while I'm waiting for the whatever it is I was waiting for. I forgot.
The perfect location. That's what you were waiting
location,
for.
The perfect location. That's right.
So, you may see it, but it won't be in this lifetime.
Okay. Well, maybe the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight on Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience, we're going to call tonight's show Ghosts, Dreams, and the Unexplained. Everything from types of dreams, what do they mean? Are they warnings? Are they premonitions? Or are they just plain dreams? To out-of-body experiences, multiple dimensions, time shifts, and just plain unexplained stuff. And most of the content from tonight's show is from the book, Gateway to the Paranormal.
Hear, hear.
Do you have any idea who wrote that?
Well, I believe you know her.
I believe I do. I believe. Let me see. I have the book right here. Let me take a look.
Maybe we could mention it at the end of the show or something.
Oh, you don't want me to say it? You don't want me to let the cat out of the bag? Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Just remain anonymous on the...
Yeah, let's keep him in suspense for at least till the bottom of the hour.
Keep him in suspense. I'm sure that. Yeah. I'm sure everybody is right on the edge of their seats already.
Hey.
So.
Well, I was thinking that there, very often, we get the opportunity to discuss different stories, and I really think those are intriguing and wonderful. But what we don't have enough time to do is maybe to analyze some of them to better understand what the paranormal is all about. Because I contend that everyone, even if they've got a little scintilla of paranormal ability, we all experience the paranormal in a different way. So tonight I wanted to cover a few talking points. One of them being the quality of dreams, because there are many kinds of dreams, and then touch on the ghosts, and then things like even time travel or out-of-body experiences or just things that just sort of events that kind of defy an explanation. In fact, most of this defies explanation, but they seem to be more easily categorized or understood than some of these other things. So I thought we could open up with a discussion about ghosts, since we both know a little bit about ghosts personally.
Okay, we can do that. But before we start, how about if I say, if anybody has a story about a dream or something like that, that you would like to share with us, don't be shy. 603-430-9722. Or if you just have a question or a comment, or you just want to say hi, you can text that same number, 603-430-9722.
All right, we'd love to hear from you. I know we've got a few followers that have some really peculiar dreams. And
I know we do.
Things that happen to them.
Followers that have all sorts of strange experiences.
So, I guess the first question would be, what do you feel is a ghost?
Ooh. Now you're getting technical on me right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've given this some thought, and I've studied and researched, and I don't have a clue. I guess the best I could say would be some sort of energy form.
It's whatever you think it is.
that's an easy out. Yeah, that would be one answer. It's whatever the particular person might think is a ghost. Is a ghost actually the, I don't know, a ghost spirit? I call them interchangeable, but some people think they're different things. What do you think about that?
Well, I believe you're right on when you say energy forms, but it seems to me that the ghost is a result of the percipient's interpretation of what they're experiencing. The person that does the experiencing is the person who sees different things. So some people will see a full-bodied apparition that may appear solid. Other people may just see a wisp of smoke, but they get the definite impression that it's a soul or a spirit. And then we get things like poltergeist activity, which is a very strong indication of a spirit, something, someone, an entity moving stuff around. So I think those are all pretty good examples. And also, too, you've got ghosts that seem to appear in dreams. So, what do you think?
Well, what I was going to say is I use ghosts and spirits interchangeably myself. But
I kind of do, too.
Is a ghost or a spirit, or is a ghost the spirit of someone who passed away, or is it something else? I don't really know. I know something is strange out there. Something is going on, but sometimes I have to kind of lean towards Paul's theory of multiple dimensions.
Well,
rather
yes.
than the spirit of somebody, a dead person who passed away, you know?
I think the multiple dimension has to do with the medium that the ghost is acting within or appearing to the percipient. But there are different kinds of ghosts. Ghosts that have passed on, people that were alive that are now dead, entities that were never in human form. You've got evil entities. You've got things like spirits from the fairy world, or even little people. And some say that little people are actual people, and some think that they're interdimensional, but they've got a personality, they've got character, they've got form, they've got human form when we can perceive them.
But do they live in little houses? Don't get me started.
Oh, I think they do, Willie.
Don't get me started on that. Because I mean absolutely no disrespect to the subject.
No. It is a giggle point, though.
Yeah, to anybody who heard that show or remembers that show, then hopefully they'll know what I'm talking about. I like what you said, though. It kind of depends on the participant. Your own belief system.
And your own belief system.
Of what you think a ghost or a spirit might be is going to kind of govern what you get back from it.
You would think that, but people see things that they don't believe they're looking at. If they don't believe in ghosts and they see a full-body apparition. So that doesn't really hold true.
And I guess they change their beliefs, don't they? But,
So it's not based on their belief system. They have to modify their belief system.
Okay. Well, don't choke down my whole theory, but,
James House. We've gone to the James House many times, and you know that you've felt stuff there.
I do, and I think probably everybody knows that I am a very open-minded skeptic.
But when it comes to ghosts, you're a blockhead. Right?
Dead air. No.
Say that in the kindest way.
I know. What kind of way was that?
Kind.
Yeah, kind. I know. Yeah. I understand, but...
Well, you know, it took you a long time to get converted to being a ghost believer, Willie.
I need proof of these things. I don't just automatically go and say, oh, yeah, well, everybody else says there is, so I guess it's got to be, you know. I need to have some sort of proof myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had enough strange things happen that I can't explain, and I have nowhere else to explain them.
So now you're conceding that perhaps they do exist.
I'm conceding that there is definitely something paranormal going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not quite sure yet what it is. When you take something like EVPs, I'm sure everybody knows that is electronic voice phenomena. And when you get EVPs of voices that you can actually make out and understand, but you know it is nobody else in the room or anywhere near,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how else can you explain that? There are people who say that, recorders, digital recorders, tape recorders, whatever they are, pick up radio transmissions. I've asked several so-called experts on the subject, mm-hmm. and they can't agree. Some say that, oh, no, it's impossible. A recorder is not a receiver. How can it pick up radio mm-hmm. transmission? Mm-hmm. Others say, oh, yeah, it can. So I'm not an expert on recorders or any, radio waves or any of that stuff, but I don't see how it's possible for a recorder that doesn't have a receiver to pick up radio waves.
Well, it's electromagnetic in nature, wouldn't you say? Whatever it is that's being recorded?
I don't know, is it?
I thought it was. That's what everybody says.
Well, see? Now you're just believing what everybody told you, right?
Well, I'm not an expert on electricity and magnetism,
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm no expert. I don't even play one on TV.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. That's a darn good thing, because you'd fail.
I know I would. I know I would. Besides, I have a face for radio, so.
Well, I guess the point I'm getting at is, have you ever seen a ghost?
I have not ever seen a ghost. I guess I have felt a ghost.
Okay, and you really feel that perhaps you've communicated with unseen entities, correct?
Communicated with, in a way, yeah. By being touched, I guess that's communication. Huh?
It is.
It's kind of a one-way communication, but yeah.
Well, you were the recipient.
Yeah,
someone was the donor.
I was the recipient of being touched. I've felt
energy.
Yeah, energy. And no, I was thinking of one particular instance, speaking of the James House, when there was that very hot, about 90-degree day when we were in there, and all of a sudden this cold mass. Just,
oh, that was odd.
Not a breeze of any sort, just a mass of cold air. It had to have been at least 10 degrees cooler than the ambient. So
someone was drawing energy off of you, I would think.
So, yeah.
And what kind of energy? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have much energy to give, so I don't know what they were trying to get out of it. But
okay. Well, the next point I want to make is I used to perceive energy as like heat waves, like heat coming off of the highway.
Yeah.
That was about the only way that I perceived ghosts visually. Even before then, I hadn't ever seen them visually. So kind of throughout my life, that's the way I've seen them. And then, it's going to be about 11 years ago, just about 11 years ago, I saw my first ghost, like a lot of people have described them, which is ectoplasmic, sort of like a thick white cloud, a creamy cloud, only it moved. It walked, actually. I was working at a girls' school. That was the first time that I saw something. Now, what I saw was a white column of, like, white smoke, and it moved toward one of the dorm rooms. I was with a coworker. It was exactly midnight, and she saw the look on my face, so she followed where I was looking. She says, "Oh, my God, did you see that?" And I said, "Tell me what you saw." She proceeded to describe a young girl of about 14, blonde hair, pigtails, walking into the dorm. All I saw was the column of the white smoke. So, what was that?
And how do you think you would explain that she saw detail more than you did?
That's the point I'm making. Yeah. I don't know. So,
I mean, is it because you think because she was more psychically developed? Or?
I think that there's something she had the right receptors to completely see what that was. I didn't, although I did perceive it, certainly, but not in the detail that she did.
Yeah.
So number one, we both felt that there was something there,
right,
and that it probably represented some sort of personality, character, entity. And undeniably, something took place and something moved. So what a ghost is, I think, has a great deal to do with the person that is perceiving it, experiencing it, and or seeing it, because not everybody sees them. Now, at the James House, the James House Museum in Hampton, New Hampshire, I definitely sensed a lot that was in the house. Some of the personalities, I got definite mental images, but I saw nothing with my eyes.
Right, you saw it all in your mind.
I saw it in my mind,
actual,
in my mind's eye.
Right, yeah.
It was just as if they were standing in front of me in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
But then there was one really negative entity that was upstairs in the eaves. And after we had done, three or four investigations there, we'd been there a bit, I had the dream in August of this male in 18th century dress. He was in clothes from the 1700s, and he was very clear and detailed in the dream, down to his coat, his boots, his pants, his shirt. He had long, black, curly hair. and he was very menacing. That's what I dreamt. And I, right. Next day I kept wondering, what was that? Who was that person? It looked like the James House. Is there a connection, or is my mind just making this up? So after what I dreamt was corroborated with other people, as you know, mm-hmm. especially like the woman across the street, we got the same information. So why was it that I had to go into a dream state to perceive him rather than to be able to see him like some others may be able to, like yeah. like Allison across Allison, the street.
Or Val.
Well, Val didn't see him.
She didn't actually see him. Right?
No.
She sensed him.
But right, she sensed him. But Allison could see every detail.
Yeah. Right.
So,
I don't know.
You know, it's hard to define what is a ghost. It is certainly an energy form.
Yeah.
And I think it has a whole lot to do with personalities and entities, some that may not have lived, others that have. And maybe they're basically of another dimension.
Well, you say some that have lived and some that
never did.
Never did. But so
kind of like,
you're saying something that was never human? Is
that's
what
right.
Saying?
Like an elemental.
So is that actually a ghost, or is that something else entirely different?
Probably something entirely yeah. different, but it has the same earmarks as a ghost. It is an entity, a character, a personality that basically lives in another dimension that we that may interface with ours every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have all the answers, but it does make you wonder.
Right. You know, I was going to say I've never actually seen a ghost, but I guess you could say that investigation we did in the place that we won't name there, in the basement.
Oh,
I saw the...
The brick building.
Yeah, the brick building. In the basement of the brick building.
Yes.
I did see
the shadow man.
You would call it a shadow figure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't actually a figure. It was more like just a mass.
Like a column of dark.
It just went across the doorway and just blocked everything out entirely. But mm-hmm. it wasn't in the shape of a person. So I don't know if you'd call that a shadow figure.
I think you would.
It's the closest I can come. I'm going to go with that anyway.
Does that fall in the category of ghost? I kind of think it does, although I think it's probably the negative end of the spectrum as far as I know I have to give it some sort of value, but judgmental value, but something that probably is just sort of a whirlwind of negativity, something that was never happy, something that may have done something that it's ashamed of, that they can't rest.
And
so
we know in the particular place that there was a lot of that to happen.
That's right. So that could very well be the manifestation.
Yeah. That
of
along
that
with
activity.
That along with a very dark EVP that we got.
Yep.
But the point is I guess I would have to say that yeah, I have seen a ghost. So
yeah.
That was my only experience with actually seeing anything.
Yeah, well, see, we have to put it in some kind of category so that we could talk about it, because there's a lack of words to describe these worlds that are difficult to perceive. Mm. So I think collectively it would fall into the category of a ghost.
Mm. Yeah, a lack of words and the whole subject of paranormal and ghosts it's all just theory anyway. Nobody really knows.
It really is, because we just don't have the vocabulary represents it.
Yeah. And nobody, well, maybe I shouldn't say this. Nobody's actually been there to see what it is and come back, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
No, I mean, about near-death experiences. And
yeah, but you know what's the key word to that, though? Near. Near-death experiences.
No, they die and they come back.
Well, that wouldn't be a near-death experience then.
That's why they call it near. Because you're not gone for good. You just went for a little while.
just took a little a little vacation, huh?
Yeah.
Vacation from life. Everybody should take one of them every now and then.
Well, I got to say, we didn't resolve any of these mysterious points, but I think discussing it helps give this world of the paranormal some clarity. And that's just one aspect of it, the ghosts and things, because we both experience really strange, different things. People experience the paranormal differently. And to come to terms with it and to try to understand it, I think we have to sit down and talk about it, discuss the conditions of where we saw it, what we think happened there or what we know happened there, and put it all together.
And then I think everybody is still going to come up with their own.
Well,
their own explanation.
Truly, but I think we're forging the way to the future so that there's some common understanding.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted to do tonight, to find some common ground about this stuff.
All right. Well, let's do that then.
Okay. So another one of the talking points I wanted to hit on today is dreams. We touched on dreams, but I feel that there are different types of dreams. I think they're basically all sort of altered states of reality, quite frankly. And I am of the opinion that we do live in a multiverse. They say there is no time. That's kind of hard for our 3D mind to conceive. But it would seem so. It would seem also, too, that maybe several universes are happening at once. Maybe there are, you know, infinite numbers of universes happening at once. But every once in a while, we can access the past or we can access the future. We can access things that may be happening now, but we certainly were not aware of it because it's in our future. I know, there's the timeline again. There's really no escaping it.
I
don't. Well, I guess we're about reaching the bottom of the hour, so
we might as well take up that after the bottom of the
hour. Yeah, we could do that. Let me just mention that Gateway to the Paranormal, which does include a lot of these different stories we're talking about tonight, or at least these topics that we're talking about, I released this in October of 2017, and luckily enough, they are available locally. My book is available locally, and that would be in the Portsmouth area at Tugboat Alley on Bow Street. And then there's Dedwick's Emporium on Sheaf Street, and then there's River Run Books on Daniel Street. So it's available there, as well as the Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, and then, of course, on Amazon.com. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Supernatural Magazine, one of the UK's top paranormal magazines, provides support to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. It is the magazine's goal to bring every aspect of supernatural news and research from around the world under one roof to create a universal platform for all those interested in the supernatural. More information is available at supernaturalmagazine.com. And you are listening to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. The paranormal experience tonight. We are talking trash. Okay,
talking paranormal trash.
Paranormal trash. Okay, I was going to say ghosts, dreams, and the unexplained.
Well, that'll work too.
But yeah, we'll just say we'll go with whatever.
Ghost dreams.
Those of you who are following along at home, you can just pick your own title and go with that.
We give you that option.
Yeah, we're all about options here.
Another really interesting conundrum is, for me, time travel.
I like that word, conundrum.
Yes, because it presents such a conundrum.
It's right up there with Pudgewucky.
Yes, very, very close in understanding, isn't it, Willie? Time travel to me is a real dilemma, and I've experienced it, luckily, that and out-of-body experiences. And I happen to have one dream I wrote a story about. It's called The Lottery House, where I took off in a dream one night. I went back in time, and I visited this house that was not mine, that I had never been to. And it was like a bright, summery day. I should say it was bright, but it was a foggy, hazy bright. But the wind was blowing, and I flew in and out of the windows of this house. It was on a high bluff above a river. It faced a field, and there were barely any houses in the area around it. And it was, it had a front yard that stretched out to a long field, but it was broken up by a front stone wall, and that was broken in half by a path going up the middle. And outside of the house, it was like a little cottage, a Victorian or a New Englander cottage, built maybe the late 1800s. There were lilac bushes outside around the house, and only on one side of the house, I should say the front and the side, and they were all small. So I was flying in and out of the windows of this house, and then next thing I knew, the dream ended, but I remembered the entire thing when I woke up. It was a year and a half before I found the actual house, a house I had never been to, never seen before. And when I found it, it was the same exact location. It did overlook the river. It was on a bluff. But there were more houses there. There was still the stone wall. And there were tall lilac trees. So, well, I should say bushes. But they were really big bushes. So, obviously, they had grown over time. And lilac bushes will last for at least 100 years. They have quite a lifespan.
I didn't know they lived that long.
Yep. So I was shocked to find that house. So I flew to a place that I'd never been before, and I went back in time because the houses were not there. There were like three houses in the neighborhood that didn't exist.
Right.
There was just that field, and those lilac bushes were less than half the size. So how do you explain that?
That is a good question.
Yeah, it's not just leaving your body, but I went back in time.
Yeah, it was a combination of out of body and time travel, I guess.
Yep. And why that house? Why did I dream that house?
That's a good question. But you know, I was thinking this afternoon about this. It was an out of body experience, but I mean, obviously, your physical body doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your...
Your etheric body does.
Yeah, okay, that one.
Yep.
And so in this case, you went and you saw this house, which you'd never seen before. You even went inside, and unfortunately, you still haven't had a chance to actually see the inside.
Haven't been the inside, no.
Yeah.
In my body, though.
Yeah.
Not in the physical body.
Right. Hopefully someday you will, just to confirm. But what I was wondering is... I just went blank on the term, so I'll have to get back into that in just a minute.
Maybe you can describe the term to me. Well, while you're thinking of that, what occurred to me was I watched that house after I found it for about 8 years, and I kept checking on it, and just recently they made a lot of changes to the outside of it, which is really unfortunate because it's such a cute Victorian-type house. So they probably could have changed the inside, too, so I might not even recognize it.
Well, yeah, that's true. But unless they actually changed the rooms, I mean, you might. But the term I was trying to come up with is remote viewing.
Okay.
Isn't this a lot like...
I think it is. Remote viewing is usually done with your conscious mind when you're awake.
Okay,
but I had gone into a dream state.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
you know, remote viewing is probably an altered state of mind.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It is essentially you went somewhere and observed.
Yeah.
which is what you do in remote viewing.
I don't know if the frequency is just a little bit different, because you do maintain your conscious mind while you're remote viewing, whereas my conscious mind was subjugated to my subconscious, and I think it was my subconscious that took off.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to say I understand it. I'm just saying.
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
That kind of.
It's a good point.
Yeah, it's just something I happened to think of this afternoon. Well, these sound awful familiar.
With the remote viewing, it's almost like there's a duality going on in the brain, subconscious and conscious, or conscious mind that gets somehow subordinated to another part of your brain, another part of your mind that can take off, that is not relative to time and distance. It can just separate itself and go where directed, whereas the out-of-body experience, my conscious mind was at rest, and it was subjugated to something else. It was subjugated to sleep, but there was still something that was active.
Right. Well, your subconscious mind never stops.
True.
It's constantly 24/7.
Was it my subconscious mind that took off? I don't know. Yeah. Etheric body, subconscious mind, are they the same thing? I'm not sure.
They might be.
They might be. But with the remote viewing, my point is there are two parts of the brain that are still aware.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But it is very similar.
Yeah. It's two different things with sort of a similar
pattern, paradigm, maybe.
Similar,
kind of.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's a good point that it's really hard to understand.
Yeah.
Why that house? Why did I go back in time? Why couldn't I have just gone and visited it in this time frame? Why did it have to be, back in time?
Right.
That whole dream will forever remain a mystery to me. Now, that woman that lived in the house, I had asked my neighbors what the story was, and it was an older lady. She became widowed, and she won the lottery. And she sold her house and she moved to Florida, which I thought was a wonderful ending to a story. But again, the question is raised, why did I dream of that house? Why in the past? Whoops. I heard a mouse.
Yeah, something's coming coming to get us.
So that's open-ended. It's just one of those things that's hard to categorize and understand.
Yeah, and one of those things that you may just never actually have an answer to.
Yeah, so true.
But what kind of... I was going to say, what kind of a dream would you call that? But it'd be an out-of-body dream.
Yeah, out-of-body and time travel.
Yeah.
I think it comes under two categories.
Right. I mean, it's... Yeah. Okay.
Now, you did say that you had the sensation of falling back in bed yourself, right?
I had never related that to anything until...
Barbara DeLong said something?
Until you were on the show with Barbara DeLong the other night. And you were talking about out of body, and you said... You were saying that not everybody has experienced it, and she said that she thinks everybody... has.
Perhaps, but not aware of it.
Right. And her question to you was, well, have you ever had that feeling like you were just falling and you hit the bed and woke up?
Mm.
And it suddenly dawned on me, well, yeah, I have had that a few times.
Yeah, and then you wind up kind of like convulsing, you shake.
No, I just go back to sleep.
It startles you is the idea when you hit the bed. Yeah, it startles you.
I think that's what it was. When you hit the bed, it wakes you up.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then you just roll over. Just roll over and go back to sleep.
And you wonder, what the heck was that?
And say, well, that was, okay. I guess I was dreaming. I don't know what I was dreaming about, but I guess I was dreaming. So maybe I have had out-of-body experiences. I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm very jealous that you can remember your dreams so well.
Not all of them, Willie.
Well, hey, the ones you do. I mean, I can't.
Some of them are.
I can't remember any part of a dream. But I will have to say I did have one experience. I'm not sure if I ever told you this. I think I did.
Oh, is this something new?
Well, you're about to find out.
Do tell.
You might say, oh, yeah, you've told me that. That's old news. one morning, I'm sure it started out in a dream state. I heard piano music.
Oh.
And it woke me up. And after I know I was awake, I mean, I wasn't, you know, like fully awake. Well, then I never am anyways, but I know I was awake. And for another two or three, maybe four more seconds, I could still hear the music when I was awake.
Uh-huh.
It was piano music.
How long ago is this?
Oh, a few years.
A few years?
Yeah,
okay.
I can't remember exactly. And I couldn't tell you what the music was either, except it was piano music. And my mother, when she was younger, played piano.
Oh.
And I'm kind of wondering if possibly that was her one and only...
Could very well be.
...contact that, yeah, I'm okay. You know? I mean, I haven't really thought of that until recently.
Well, that makes the most sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense, because she was, you know, like I say, when she was younger, and in her older life, she did buy a piano and played some, but, you know, I mean, she's really, you know, she hadn't done it in probably 50 years. But she played stuff like classical, like
really?
Moonlight Sonata.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. That's what I remember her playing.
That makes the most sense to me, is it being your mother.
So,
when you're in that half-awake sleep state.
Yeah.
Now, I've had something very similar, too, and we've discussed this. The phone ringing. Having the phone wake me up.
Right.
I can hear it. I go to the phone. No one has called me.
Yeah.
I get woken up by a phone ring a lot.
Even if the phone's shut off?
Even if the phone is shut off. Or unplugged. I think that's really strange, too.
Yeah. Once, maybe, you could say, well, okay, it was just a dream. I thought I had a phone.
Yeah, maybe it's just a dream.
When it keeps happening, that's rather strange. Any idea who might have been calling?
No. I have no idea what that's about. Again, that's the dimensional thing. What dimension am I hearing from? It's certainly not 3D, right?
I guess not. No.
Okay, so another point I wanted to mention was, in dreams, there are different kinds of dreams. One of them, one being that we haven't discussed, is a precognitive dream where you're given information, and the information may not make sense. It may not seem to be valuable information, but it's only until after time passes that you realize, oh my gosh, I dreamt that. And what was the point? I once had a dream about 18 tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened just before I was going to take a trip out to Denver. And in the dream, I saw 18 tornadoes facing east on a hill. I was on a hill overlooking Denver, facing east. And I saw them. And that was pretty much the end of the dream. So about 5 days later, I went out there. And lo and behold, it was really warm when I landed. It was about 80 degrees. And then by about the fourth day, there was a severe change in the weather. It got really chilly. It started to snow. And then I, from the window of where I was staying, it was like a picture window, and I was facing east. I saw 9 tornadoes. And I said to my friend, this is really spooky because I dreamt of 18 tornadoes. Mm. And I was afraid. I was actually afraid of coming because I didn't know if the plane was going to encounter trouble, if I was going to encounter trouble once we landed. I said, well, what's odd is I'm only seeing 9 and I dreamt of 18. So we kept listening to the weather report, and I don't know how long it was. It wasn't long, maybe within an hour or so, the snow stopped, and we're listening to what the news has to say about this crazy weather. And the commentator says, and a total of 18 tornadoes was seen over the Denver area today. So I saw 9, I dreamt of 18, but there were 18.
Do you think there's any sort of connection to the numerical, with 9 being half of 18?
I don't know. I don't know why it would be split like that.
Yeah. It's just seemed a little funny that it was exactly half, you know.
It is very odd. It could have been broken up in different pairs, but...
Yeah. Had you thought of that before?
Yeah. Oh. It did. None of it made any sense. So why would I dream about inconsequential tornadoes? Nothing happened. No one was reported injured or dead, died from it. So it was just a crazy little dream about weather, and nothing happened. So what is the point of the precognition if you have this miscellaneous information in your dream state? What is the point? Maybe it's the point to make you more aware of more important messages that may be coming down the road. Maybe it's just, an elementary step in understanding your consciousness and expanding your awareness.
That could be. Was this, how would I say, more towards the beginning of your dream?
Of having weird dreams?
Of having precognitive type dreams, or...
Well, you know, I haven't had that many precognitive dreams. I've had dreams that have a lot of information that I didn't understand until it happened. But that, I'm saying, is precognitive because it was so exacting.
Right, and yeah.
Inconsequential, but exacting.
And, yeah. The point I was kind of trying to get at is maybe if it was towards the beginning of your, you know, precognitive type dreams, maybe it was just a kind of like a warm-up, you know, see if she gets this.
Maybe.
And, you know,
maybe.
And then from there, they got more
well, maybe a little more frequent and frequent involved. And,
yeah.
Well, something similar with my mother contacting me through the music boxes. She contacted me once on Halloween. And then a few months later, that following December, it was another music box that was played. If I hadn't paid attention the first time, although how could you not hear a music box playing in the middle of the night and everything is quiet? The music box just went off and played a few tunes. I should say a few bars. I feel that was a warning to draw my attention to the fact that something else was coming. So I did get another message, and it happened to be 5 years before a family friend died and 5 years after my mother had passed to the day.
There you go again.
Yeah.
The halfway.
Yeah,
five half and five
half.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a pattern there, but...
Well, it's a pattern of twice, so... Some sort of a pattern.
I'm not even worried about that. I'm trying to understand.
I know.
The whole package.
I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It just struck me again that it was half, you know. So.
Another conundrum. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, have you had any other, precognitive dreams? Are there any others that you wanted to talk about?
Well, there's always shamanic visions, and those are pretty direct, and it's been that I've seen things that appeared translucent. You can see them, but you can also see through them, like animals or creatures or whatever. And I only, after having the dreams, I would do some research and find out the meaning of the dream as far as Native American culture is concerned. So those were sort of precognitive in a way, but they were really a statement of cultural Native American beliefs based on stuff that is real for them. Creatures and beings that are real to them.
Yeah.
So it's not that I dreamt something that was a fictitious character. They're real. So I don't really know how else to categorize that except as a shamanic vision. But I received it in a dream state.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Did you have something else you wanted to bring up?
No, I have a couple of examples of precognitive dreams from famous people, but only if we need to fill some time.
Oh, thank you, Willie. Well, You caught me off guard with that one.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want me to tell you one of them?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Where to go? We actually, this was mentioned before when we did a program about the ghosts of Washington, about the dream that Abraham Lincoln had about his death.
Yeah.
In 1865, 2 weeks before he was shot, Abraham Lincoln had a psychic dream about a funeral at the White House. So in the dream, he asked someone, well, who's in the casket? And they replied, the President of the United States. So he told his wife about the dream, but neither of them took it to heart. On the night of his assassination, he gave his bodyguard the night off, but that was a precognitive dream. He saw his own death coming.
Yes. It's very, very sad. No, I haven't had anything else like that.
I hope not.
The Oz Factor. Have you ever experienced that? Do you remember what that is? Jenny Randles has written about it, and it's when you feel that you're like in a vacuum and you hear no outside noises.
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, like Mary Sutherland, we've been following her and her website and so forth. She talks about that a lot. So does Jenny Randles. And I happened to experience that once when I was waiting for my brother to come home from band practice, only he had to hitch a ride home, and I was scared to death that there was something wrong. And there was no reason for me to feel that way. Mom and Dad had gone to bed. I was sitting up waiting for him. All of a sudden, everything got quiet. I was sitting out by the porch with all of the windows open, and I could hear the wind, and I could hear the chirping, and then everything went dead. And then there was this lightning, like this ball lightning, that flew around to the backyard. Will it?
Go ahead. We have some text messages here I just noticed. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, go ahead. And then it disappeared, but the vacuum, the soundlessness scared me. So I still waited for my brother, and the next thing I could hear was his footfalls on the driveway. He finally came home. And when he came through the door, I asked him if something had happened, and he said, no. I said, were you in an accident or something? He said, no, I'm all right. Nothing happened. Well, 4 years later, I found out he was in an accident that night. So something happened. Something occurred where I hooked into him, hooked into what he was going through. So it's odd that there was the Oz Factor and there was the ball lightning. So what have you got for text messages?
Well, this is from one of our other show hosts here, Dana from Good Times.
Oh.
It's a little bit hard to follow, but she apparently had an experience with a black mass.
Oh.
She says it was benign and it felt, it's fading out.
No.
Right, there I go. Okay.
Thank you, Dana.
It was benign, and it felt bad for it.
Oh, really?
But it looked over me for 3 hours every single night. And she says...
And it was a dark mass?
It was a dark mass.
That's unusual. See? There are always rules that get broken.
And also, she had someone else see and feel the same exact shadow.
In the same room at the same time?
I'm not quite sure. But anyway, thank you very much, Dana.
Yes, thank you, Dana. That's interesting.
For sending us that. We appreciate that.
It defies my explanation.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
Another what?
And was there another text?
Oh, there's three texts from her. It's kind of a...
Oh, I see. Oh, continuation.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's why it's kind of hard to follow. It's all broken up.
But, you know, sometimes if people have heavy hearts or they feel guilty about something, that might be what happened, and that might be why she connected with it and felt bad for it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Anyway, yes, that is. It is interesting, and we appreciate the
Dana.
Thank you. And hey, you know, we're just
about out of time.
Yeah, we only got about like another minute to go. You got anything that'll fit into a minute?
Well, how about UFOs? What do you think about them?
Hey, been around for thousands of years. Do you think you can cram them into a minute?
Yeah, okay. How about UFOs that you see and they disappear, they blink out? And then how about helicopters chasing them that just blink out?
Helicopters that are invisible?
Yes, that just uncloak themselves and then cloak themselves.
I'm sure the government has an explanation for that one.
Yes, well, that happened to me out in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I was watching a green UFO, and the darn thing just blinked out, and then the helicopters came chasing it, and they blinked out, too. And that was in June of 2007. And by December of 2007, I heard one radio broadcast announcing that the government had finally perfected cloaking and stealth technology, which I didn't realize at the time that included cloaking. I thought it only included speed with no sound, but it included invisibility, and I didn't know that.
Yep.
Woo-hoo. A lot of strange things in Arizona.
Do you think by any chance that the government has stuff they're not telling us about? I think that's possible.
They wouldn't do that, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
No.
They wouldn't hide stuff from us. Hey, we're not going to hide anything from our listeners either.
It's the end of the hour.
It's the end of the show. And we hope you enjoyed our little discussion. And I guess that's Spirit Radio, the Paranormal Experience, for another week.
Okay, and thanks everyone for listening. Have a good evening. You have been listening to Spirit Radio, the Paranormal Experience, with your hosts Willie Hassel and Lynn Nickerson on the Paranormal UK Radio Network.
In this one of many possible worlds, all for the best, or some bizarre test, it is what it is, and whatever. Time is still the infinite jest. The arrow flies when you dream. The hours tick away, the cells take away. The watchmaker keeps to his schemes. The hours tick away, they tick away. The measure of a life is a measure of love and respect. So hard to earn, so easily.